Here in New South Wales, we have a new minister in charge of strata. Is it going to be something new and fantastic and a bright new dawn, or is it going to be the same old, same old? I'm Jimmy Thompson. This is the Flat Chat Wrap. Hello, I'm here again with Sue Williams. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Jimmy.
And we're here to talk about the new Fair Trading Minister. Sorry, he's not Fair Trading. He is Innovation and Better Regulation Minister, which is in charge of Fair Trading, which is in charge of Strata. What do you know about him?
What's his name? Nothing.
You know nothing. Okay, I can tell you a little bit. I can tell you his name is Kevin Anderson. He is an MP in the Nationals Party for Tamworth.
Fantastic. The home of the Golden Guitar.
The home of the Golden Guitar, which is that a building? Is that a strata building?
That's strange, isn't it? It comes from Tamworth. Is Tamworth, that's a place that's really built up with lots and lots of apartment developments, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Small ones. We shouldn't dismiss it. Tamworth is a nice little town. We've been there once. I have. And it was mostly closed, but
I've been there during the Tamworth Country Music Festival, and it was really interesting. Lots of line dancing, and I remember doing a story. I actually remember doing a story about how lots of sex workers were bussed into the town for that week.
Right.
And Tamworth City Council being really angry with me for doing that story.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually quite a good story, really, but
I'd imagine anyway. The customers in the cities were quite angry as well.
Well, I didn't actually name anybody.
Where has Dolores gone?
So he's from Tamworth.
Yes.
Tamworth is not known for its apartment developments. I mean, presumably...
Not yet.
Yes. I mean, there's probably a few apartments there, I imagine. Little unit blocks, maybe three stories, walk-up places. But
we should look into this. We should find the Tamworth apartment block. There must be one.
Yeah, that's a good idea, really.
We'd probably name everybody in it.
So that's a shame. So he's a Nationals minister as well.
Yes.
The Nationals aren't really known for their kind of interest in apartment residents, are they, really?
No, apart from the ones who were in the Bridgeport building who were got into a bit of strife.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Bridgeport building in Sydney where there was lots of Airbnb.
Short-term letting. Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that even predated Airbnb, actually.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because Alex Greenwich lived there briefly.
Oh, okay.
In the early days before Airbnb. Mm. And he tells about, you know, coming out in the morning and seeing people families wheeling their suitcases in and not being able to get into the lift and stuff. Mm. So that was ages ago.
Okay, so that's a good start. So at least he knows about Airbnb, presumably.
From his national colleagues who will be telling him it's a fantastic thing.
But otherwise, do you get the feeling that the Liberals had to find this man a ministry?
Yes.
You know, the Nationals, you know, have a certain allocation for ministries and for positions.
Unlike women.
Yes, because it doesn't work with women.
Doesn't work with women.
Know, but it works with national
MPs.
It kind of smacks of the idea that they had to find a place for him, and they kind of thought, well, this is the place where he might do the least damage, maybe.
Yes.
Which is a bit sad for apartment residents, isn't it, really?
Because tragic.
We'd like to think we're pretty important. Yeah. I mean, lots of people living in apartments. More people will be living in apartments in the years to come. So it's an incredibly important issue.
Yeah.
And to be kind of treated as a bit of a backstop is a shame.
Yes. I mean, there's no way that Gladys Berejiklian is going to put a Labour person on her ministry. I think she should give Alex Greenwich a call. I think she should say, hey, Alex, you know, you are the MP for the greatest concentration of apartments in Australia. You live in an apartment. How about you come over and we make you a minister in our government? Wouldn't that be a fantastic thing?
Oh, that would be interesting. Would he accept?
Like a shot, wouldn't he? I have to ask him.
Well, it's interesting because even Yasmin Catley, I mean, you had her on a podcast, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. She's great.
She really prioritised apartment residents, and she has some great ideas, doesn't she?
She's fantastic. She wanted to have a strata commissioner, like they do in Queensland. She was going to bring in a registry of Airbnb or short-term holiday lets.
Yeah, which would have been a good idea.
Ah, terrific idea. I mean, wherever it has happened, it just flushes out all the illegal lets immediately. Mm. I mean, they just introduced one in Japan last year. 60% of the short-term lets in Japan disappeared off the listings overnight.
In Tokyo?
Well, and the other, other
and
cities.
Other cities.
Yeah.
60%?
Yeah.
As soon as the registry was introduced.
Yeah, because what the registry meant, you had to, and it was quite a simple thing. You go to your local council, you say, I'm running short-term letting in my building. And they say, well, here's your registration number. And then Airbnb agreed that they wouldn't allow anybody to list in Japan unless they had the registration number. And of course, Airbnb are saying, yeah, this is fantastic. This is what we always wanted all the time.
Why didn't they suggest it earlier on?
Exactly. And why were they fighting tooth and nail not to have it in Australia?
Sure.
You know, if it's good enough for Japan, it's good enough for here. But it's funny, actually, you go on Airbnb in Japan, as I did just recently, just to check it out, and you get this fantastic thing, and it says two bedroom apartment, it was just suitable for 12 people.
Oh dear.
yeah, so you can see why they wanted to have it registered.
Yeah,
you know,
so Yasmin's got some really good ideas, and would Gladys kind of reach out to Yasmin?
Nah.
Maybe.
Not in a million years.
So who's got the most chance of getting in, Alex or Yasmin?
I've probably got more chance than either of them. Gladys might reach out to me and say, can you send me that column that you wrote about?
Because she wants to sue.
Because I want to steal those ideas.
But well, you wouldn't mind, would you? I mean, it would be,
oh, it'd be good.
Be great.
Yeah, good idea is a good idea.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, it's a bit more sinister than just the allocation of ministries. Apparently, there was a suggestion that he might walk if he didn't get something, as in resign his candidacy.
So then maybe an independent would get in, or a Green.
And that would change, because, you know, I know it's not a hung parliament, but it's pretty close.
Yep,
there's only
sure.
a couple of seats in it.
Mm.
A couple of sex scandals, and we could have a change of government here.
Oh, well, we shall see.
But yeah, we'll give him a chance.
Yep.
I mean, I've done my research. I've gone out to Hansard and I've seen his speeches. And I can tell you, if there is ever a drought in Strata, he's our man. He's an expert on that. But apart from that, there's not an awful lot going on there.
Mm. Okay, well, Kevin, prove us wrong. Show us what you've got, mate. And you did your column last week in the Australian Financial Review on the best strata laws in the country, I think, around the country. And I think you're doing your next one this Saturday coming about the worst strata laws around
yes.
the country. Is that right?
That's correct. That's absolutely
correct. And did
you find
some real golden rules and some really awful rules?
Yes. I mean, look, in the best strata laws, without discouraging anyone from going back and reading this stuff on our website, the best one, I think, we've got the best Airbnb laws here in New South Wales, because we are allowed to create bylaws for buildings where 75% of people in the building who bother to turn up at a meeting can say, we don't want short-term letting in our building, and that's it. So the community gets to decide the way they want to live, and considering that the majority of people who bought in apartments in the past 50 years thought they were buying into residential property rather than a hotel, I think that's entirely valid. I don't think anywhere else in Australia has a similar thing, but in Queensland, it's very complicated in Queensland, because they have two different kinds of strata. They have residential and commercial strata, in terms of commercial, as in it's designed to be let
right,
for holiday
yeah.
lets.
Yeah.
But even there, their holiday lets are often supposed to be no less than 1 week or 2 weeks. So the people coming in for weekends are even breaking those laws. So they're being tested at the moment in Queensland. So they're probably not quite as good as ours, but better than everybody else's. And the ones in Victoria and Tasmania are a disaster.
Mm.
And I think in South Australia, they don't even have any.
Right.
So that's
we should be
that's
thankful
a good
for
one.
Small
yeah.
nurses, yeah.
A good thing in Queensland is their strata commissioner, and the fact that their strata is looked after by the Attorney General's office, which is an improvement on where it was. It used to be looked after by the Department of Horse Racing and Wine Promotion. You think I'm joking? I'm not. That's
yeah.
absolutely true.
Mm.
Tourism, Horse Racing and Wine Promotion.
Mm.
Here, of course, as we know, we are allegedly looked after by Fair Trading. And you get this thing of, you know, you have a problem, you go to Fair Trading, you say, look, we're having an argument in our building about this thing. Can you give us some direction on what would happen if we went to a tribunal? And Fair Trading will say, we can't say anything about a tribunal. That comes under the Attorney General's office. So then you go to the Attorney General's office and you say, can you give us some direction on this? And they say, no, 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 that's Fair Trading. I mean, and that sounds like a cliche, but I have had that happen to me too. Many times.
Yeah. It's very Kafka-esque, really.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You know? Yeah, nobody wants to take any responsibility. Mm. And then until you say, of course, as journalists, we get to say, all right, well, I'm going to quote you on saying that this is not your responsibility. And then they start panicking.
Yeah.
And you sometimes get a result out of that.
But it's not good for people who aren't journalists, really, and just kind of really need some guidance and really need some proper advice.
Mm.
And maybe you don't have the money to pay expensive lawyers for that advice.
Well, exactly. And even the lawyers can't give you a definitive answer because...
They don't know yet.
You know, if lawyers agreed on what the law means, then they would be out of a job within weeks.
Sure.
A couple of weird laws in Victoria. I think I've got this in the column twice. Once is a good thing and once is a bad thing.
Oh, well, yeah. That doesn't sound very...
Well, okay, let me run this past you and tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. You go for a special resolution, which is what you need to change a bylaw.
Mm.
And in Victoria, if you have more than 50% of the people at the meeting vote in favour of the special resolution, but not the 75% that's required to pass it, you can then create a provisional bylaw, which has to wait for 2 weeks to see if 25% of the owners are going to object. And if they don't, then it passes.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
So, you know, as we know from our years in Strata, the disengagement level in Strata is such that you could have a perfectly good and necessary bylaw and just not get enough people at the meeting, voting at the meeting, to push it through. So this actually takes that into account. The downside of their special resolutions is that you need a special resolution in Victoria to take legal action against anybody.
Right.
So if you've got, as they have, short-term letting in one-third of the apartments in some building, and you want to take legal action against some of those operators, you're going to be stuck because you're never going to get that 75% vote.
Sure, yep.
So, you know, it swings and roundabouts. I just think it's too confused. I mean, our laws here, it's a straight... And there, it's 75% of owners, not 75% of people voting at a meeting.
Right.
So that bar is set way high.
Yeah, sure.
And ours is not perfect, as we know, but it's, at least it's simple.
Oh, I mean, how would you get 75% of owners, you know, even kind
of... Yeah, no, even getting them to be engaged enough.
Yeah. No, that's very hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's such that that's a bit complicated.
It's incredible, isn't it? Wouldn't it be fabulous if strata laws were made federally? So we all had the same laws throughout the country and we could pick the very best and get rid of the very worst. And really, there's a great argument for saying strata laws should be federal, isn't there? Because strata is the same all around the country, you know.
Well, yeah, people living in apartments. But then you go to Queensland and we haven't even talked about the worst law in the whole of Australia, which is the law that in Queensland and nowhere else in Australia means that developers can pre-sell management rights.
Yes.
For 25 years, the owners come in, they basically get handed the management rights contract, which has been signed, sealed, and they're told you have to service this for the next 25 years. Almost impossible to get rid of. And, you know, even Queensland law says you cannot create any other contracts before the first AGM. You can't set up an electrical services contract or a telephone service contract before the first AGM. You can set up a contract, but it has to be approved by the owners, and it usually is. This one thing, which is illegal in every other state, is just, you know, it's... I call it frequently legalised corruption, and that's what it is. It's just...
It's shocking that this day and age that still exists. You kind of think that somebody could take a legal action against that, say it's unconscionable.
It's been tried. It's been tried many times. And there was a case fairly recently where a company somehow managed to go bust, even though they've got these feather-bedded contracts. They went bankrupt.
Goodness me.
The owner's corporation, or the body corporate, as they call it there still, went, terrific, now we've got out of this contract, the company's gone, now we can choose our building managers, we can set the terms and the length of the contract. And the liquidator said, no, that contract belongs to me. So I will choose who your building manager is, and I will choose the terms of the contract, and all you have to do is pay the fees.
Wow. That is extraordinary, isn't it?
It is absolutely unbelievable. And they took it to court. I mean, it's almost Dickensian, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, and the owners quite rightly took it to court. And they were told, no, it's a contract. And the contract belongs to originally the company that went bust. And because they don't exist anymore, it's the liquidator. It's one of their assets. And they can sell it to whoever they like.
That's horrendous.
And as far as I know, in that case, the liquidator wasn't even interested in talking to the body corporate, at least to find out, well, if we're going to sell it to somebody, who would you like us to sell it to? They just said highest bidder.
So would you buy an apartment in Queensland?
Not in this lifetime.
Right.
I've heard so many stories about people who've gone up there, they've been enticed by the great fabulous views of the ocean, and you know, there's so many rentals that you can put in while you're not using it, or you can be there permanently, and the worst combination is to be a permanent resident of a building that is 75% holiday rentals.
Sure.
And people come back and say it's a terrible mistake, you know. Yeah. you lose money, you can't make any decisions about your building, about your life, because the contract, you know. And the cases I've heard, a couple of people talk about, you know, they were living in apartments permanently, and they could get nothing done by the caretaker because the caretaker didn't want them there, because the caretakers also run the rental roll.
Yes, of course, which is really valuable.
And, you know, having a permanent resident, they don't get any commission. So they're trying to, basically, some of them are trying to drive the permanent residents out so they can get a turnover of rentals.
That's such a conflict of interest. It's a disgrace,
but it's Queensland.
Mm. Yeah.
We shouldn't say that. I mean, Queensland's a wonderful place and
it
full
is.
Of nice people.
Absolutely. Well, but fabulous scenery. The weather's beautiful 1 minute, perfect the next. And it's a great place, but, you know, they're strata laws.
They've given up. You know, I was reading an eminent lawyer's opinion the other day who said, look, this is wrong, this is corrupt, this should never have happened, but it has happened, and it's been around for 50 years, and I'm talking about the pre-sale thing. And he said, it's been around for 50 years and we just have to live with it. And you can't unscramble an egg, was the phrase he used.
Yes, but you can kind of chuck the egg down the sink
and
start again.
All it would take.
But that young guy who throws eggs, we should get him.
Yeah, he got bashed the other day, sadly.
But he's not being charged by Victorian police.
No, I think he should get a medal. What you could do is say, all right, we're going to grandfather all the contracts that are existing, so they won't be changed. Nobody's going to lose anything, but no more.
No.
About a 3-year limit or something like that. But the thing is, the banks in Queensland have so much money tied up in the loans that people took out to buy the contracts in the first place. That would be a huge source of revenue for the banks, and they're not going to give that up without a fight.
No. It's a bit depressing, isn't it, really?
Almost as depressing as having a Nationals MP as our Strata Minister.
And on that point, let's move right along.
So you had a couple of questions about assistance animals in...
Well, yes,
apartments.
Because where I live, lots of buildings are now trying to get animals into their buildings. They haven't been allowed with the bylaws, but there's kind of like a real movement now among people to kind of band together and try and organise campaigns to have their bylaws overturned.
Yes.
And I think in one building, a guy got in because he said his animal was an assistance animal.
Yes.
Did you hear about that case?
I did, actually. But that was an odd one. I think the one you're talking about is the guy who had managed to get various certificates to say he was profoundly deaf due to industrial... Ironically, he was a former printer from one of the big newspapers.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yes. So, and we've both been in print rooms when the printing machines have been running at full tilt, and they are noisy.
Mm.
And this was the days when, you know, anybody who put earmuffs on was a sissy. So, you know, it's quite possible that the man's hearing had been damaged. So he got himself an alleged assistance animal, which alerted him if somebody came to the door.
Mm.
By barking.
Oh, okay, right.
Right. So, and he won his case. He was taken, in fact, to district court by the Owners Corporation, and he won his case, which kind of legitimized not only him having an animal, but having an animal that barked.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And just to clarify, you know, people with hearing impaired hearing can get assistance animals to alert them. Like, for instance, somebody being at the door. But what happens is the little dog is trained to run up, sit in front of you, maybe put its paw on your knee.
Just to let you know. Yeah.
Let you know, because the dog has been trained, you can't hear, so what's the point in barking?
Mm.
Anyway, this guy, he got through. Now, I don't know if that would happen these days, because the loophole of the assistance animal has given people the opportunity to bypass bylaws. Now you have to get your animal approved by your local council, and there are some training facilities, so you, depending on where you live, your local council will say, okay, you say that's an assistance animal, well then go to this company and they will train it and certify it as assistance animal. But once that happens, then you bypass the bylaws.
Okay.
But in any case, there's been a couple of occasions where people have gone to NCAT and said this bylaw that says no pets is harsh and oppressive. And the tribunal has said, yeah, we agree, and knocked the bylaws over.
Sure.
So that's it's a sea change. I mean, I've had people say to me, I was on radio a couple of years ago, and the host said, you know, after introducing me, his first question was, okay, well, we all know that animals are not allowed in apartment blocks.
And I think a lot of people still think that, don't
they? Yeah, they do. Yeah. And a lot of people still think they shouldn't be allowed in apartment blocks.
Yeah, which, crazy. I mean, I think if I lived in an apartment building that didn't allow animals, I think I would take my cat and say it was an assistance cat. Because it's a stress reliever having a pet. You know, stroking a pet kind of takes a lot of the anxiety and stress. But I can't imagine taking my cat to a trainer and getting it to actually demonstrate.
To do anything.
No, that's right. It would just say, no, I'm not.
How much am I getting paid? Where's the fish? Well, you know, the pet debate will run and run. As you know, I'm pro-pets in apartment buildings. I think they bring people together. But I also think people should be able to choose to live in a block that doesn't have pets. I mean, if you've got... Well, allergies is a different thing, because if you live in a block and you have allergies and you're affected by the animals around you, you can actually get the animals removed because humans do come first.
Yeah.
But if people really socially, culturally, for whatever reason, don't want to live under the same roof as animals. And there are some religions that really frown upon living under the same roof as animals. I think you should be able to find a building that says we are not pet friendly and we never will be. Yeah. And say, okay, that's where I want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're kind of opting out rather than opting in.
Yeah, but they should be able to lock that in
is the
point I'm making. Yeah. You know, you don't want, you know, the first person to come along and say, oh, great, I'll be the only person in this building with a dog.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It'd be interesting to know what would happen to the value of an apartment building if it actually became a no-pet sanctuary, really. Because I think most buildings that allow animals, their values have tended to appreciate a little more than others because they're really in demand.
Yeah.
Especially among renters, really. If a renter has a dog or a cat or a bird, it's actually quite hard for them to find a place where the bylaws allow it and the owner of the apartment allows it too. So they're willing to pay a higher rent, and they're often, you know, really good tenants because they're actually really pleased.
They're grateful. Yeah. Mm. Oh, look, it's hard. You know, you know, what affects the values of properties? I mean, I hate to do it, but to come back to Airbnb in Melbourne at the moment, you can go to some of the high end apartment block to buy off the plan.
Mm.
and you have to sign a legally binding document that you will not ever put your apartment and list it for short-term holiday letting.
Wow.
Because the developers are saying, well, people who spend a lot of money on apartments want to be able to do so with the surety that the next door apartment isn't going to be turned into a holiday home.
Well, that's fair enough, actually. That's kind of quite an interesting idea. It's very proactive.
It is. I mean, but it always shows you, you know, follow the money. That's if you want to know.
That's true.
You know, and it is sadly one law for the rich and one for the poor, because the people who are already bought into apartment in Melbourne, they're stuck. You know, they've got to wait for the people next to them to trash the apartment three times, and then they can maybe do something about it, provided they can get 75% of the vote.
Oh!
Okay, well, that's all from us for this week. Thanks very much, Sue.
Pleasure, Jimmy.
And we'll be back again next week. If you want to find out more about what's happening in the world of strata, go to flat-chat.com.au. Ask us a question. We got hundreds of people waiting to answer your questions with their experiences. And if you enjoy these podcasts, please subscribe through whatever service you get them. I've been Jimmy Thompson.
And I'm still Sue Williams. Weird, Jimmy.
Talk to you next week.